What are the photographs like in the flesh, so to speak? Well, to find out, we sent our reporter, Terry Flanagan, along to the National Botanic Gardens this afternoon because they are now on proud display in the gardens. Terry's at his home now in Dublin 15. So, Terry, how are things at the bots, as Eric Dempsey would say?
Yeah, and I used to call it the bots as well because I lived very, very close to them, and it was a fantastic place to go because it was free and you could spend days and days there just wandering around the gardens. And today it was looking spectacular, looking at all those lovely flowers, and not just looking at them, but smelling them as well, because there are some beautiful scented plants there too. And of course, the 10 finalists for this year's Eye in Nature competition have just been revealed, and there's some amazing photographs there. And I had the chance to look at them with the other two judges. And I started with Sheena Jolly, who's an award-winning nature photographer. And we began by looking at a smashing photo of a red fox.
I love this image. It's a picture of a red fox by Tristan Bain from County Antrim. Mm-hmm. And it's really captured a moment. I talked to Tristan earlier and he said the fox's attention suddenly turned to a tree above him, to a squirrel. So he's got the attention of the fox with his face towards the camera. It's beautifully backlit as well. It's a very late evening shot or early morning. And he's got the lovely creative lighting in a darker moment.
And to me, what I see are the eyes. The eyes are stunning in this photograph.
The eyes are so in focus, and the detail is all there in the face.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's absolutely beautiful.
And the next one is this beautiful shot of a swan, an adult swan with two, three, four, five, six, about seven cygnets in it.
Yeah, this is another beautiful image. This is by Patrika from County Dublin. I think you're right, one too many. We've got so many cygnets here, which is unusual because often there's predators and they end up with much fewer number of cygnets in their life. But they're all in a line, the composition's beautiful. It's obeying the one-third, two-thirds rule because the adult swan is over in the one-third and the cygnets are on the water level, which is also on a one-third.
And the other thing I like is that we're down really low looking at it. We're almost in the water.
Absolutely. He's obviously taken it, maybe lying down, or maybe he's in the water, I'm not sure, which takes us right into the image.
Splendid. Right, let's move on then to the next one. And the next one is of a coot, and the coot is feeding its young.
Yeah, another beautiful image. And the focus here is on the chick. So the eye is beautifully in focus. You can even see the water droplets in the feathers of the chick. This is taken by Paul Campbell from County Dublin. And it's a lovely moment because it's a natural moment. It's the adult coot feeding the chick.
And what I like about this photograph is that everything that you see in the photograph is in focus.
Yes, indeed. And we have this wonderful space around it as well, which is giving it a very natural look.
Yeah, it's a lovely photo. Let's move on to the next one.
So here we have a young hare taken by Thomas McDonnell from Rathlin Island in County Antrim. Again, a really lovely cracking image to get the hare in motion. And again, he's brought us down to eye level. Maybe he's lying on the ground, I don't know, but beautifully focused, lovely composition. He's given the hare space to run into and a lovely light as well. He's obviously taken it early morning or in the evening.
Again, it's not a kind of photograph I would take because there's so much what I'd call empty space in it, and yet it adds to the photograph.
Oh, absolutely, it adds to the photograph.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right, we go on then to another one.
Here we have a close-up of a rabbit, but it's obeying all the rules, it's sharp. The concentration is on the eye, and he's got this lovely moment of the rabbit licking its paw. Everything is nicely sharp, and then you've got this creative image where the background is blurred. It evokes an emotion, which is what you want. You want to evoke an emotion in the viewer.
What I love about this photograph is that it's very, very natural. The animal is doing its own thing. It doesn't know that there's a photographer around.
Yes.
Mm. It must have been very, very difficult to pick a winner from the thousands and thousands of entries.
It's incredibly difficult. I mean, the finalist images, yes, they all stand out. But to actually pick a winner, that was really hard.
And Sheena, now that you're finished the judging, you're actually involved in a new book, and a new book on poetry. Is that right?
Well, the poems are old. The poems have been given to me by a lighthouse keeper's son, and he asked me to put my images to accompany the poems. The poems are all nature poems. They were written by a man called DJ O'Sullivan. He was a full-time lighthouse keeper, but he has a great flair for poetry. He also wrote for the Irish Press for 45 years, and he's got a moth named after him with a Latin name, and then O'Sullivan. So we're finally formulating this book. I've got a publisher, and we're picking out the best of the images that will accompany some of the lines within the poetry, and the poetry itself will be published. So I can read one to you.
Please
now.
Please do, yes.
I live out in the world, far from the land, a lighthouse keeper, they ask, and shake my hand. It must be lonely out there. They do not understand. For rock-bound by the tide, and free from the throng, sweet peace fills my breast the whole day long. Every window's wind whistle is a blackbird's nesting song.
What a beautiful poem. Thank you very much indeed, Sheena Jolly. So, 5 down and 5 to go. Our final judge is Dr. Matthew Jebb. Terry.
Yes, Dr. Matthew Jebb. He is the director of the National Botanic Gardens, and he walked me around the final 5 so I could have a look at them too.
Terry, welcome to the National Botanic Gardens and to our display of Eye on Nature for 2023. These images have just been put up yesterday, so we're looking at them fresh.
Yeah, well, I've seen 5 of them already. You're going to introduce me to another 5.
Well, this is a photograph taken by Carl Graff of a badger. And the beauty of this is a badger is such an elusive, shy creature. To have captured it that in a beautiful setting of woodland at night. I mean, one of the things you'll often see about a badger, yes, you can photograph in the daytime and that's clever enough, but to capture them at night like that in a manner that badger looks calm and relaxed is fabulous.
The one thing I like about this photograph, it's as if there's a spotlight above the badger shining down on his back. His back looks spectacular and I don't see any shadows in it.
No, exactly. And the black and white face and that lovely russety brown fur on the back, the whole thing is what thrills us about wildlife, the bluebells in the faint background. It's a great image.
In one word, spectacular.
It is a spectacle.
All right, yes. Let's move on then to the next one. This is something I didn't expect to see in the final.
Who has seen a sabre wasp in their lives? I mean, this is a giant ichneumid wasp and it parasitizes the wood wasp from that wood. So what was happening here is the Knockmealdown Mountains. What is amazing about this image, you've got the scenery in the background and you have got this close-up of a tiny insect. Now, when I say tiny, it's actually quite long. It's 1.5 inches in length, sort of 4 centimeters. But it is just breathtaking in its beauty. Where else would you ever come upon such a thing? And you know, you might catch a glimpse of this, but to actually capture it laying its egg through the trunk of that tree is something that seems so exotic and rare and unusual. And yet it's a widespread wasp in this country.
Well, to me, what's spectacular about this particular photograph is that it looks like it's an absolute monster. It looks as if it could be 20 feet tall.
Yes.
It's tiny.
It is. And you know, Andrew Malcolm, who took this photograph, he's from just near Lismore. I mean, the opportunity to even see these things and recognize them, he has spent a lot of years now concentrating on them because he has been drawn by that beauty. Having captured it like this, you then become hypnotized by it, and that is what makes nature such a fascinating topic.
Let's move on. The next one here is of what looks like a pair of frogs, and they're just after laying their eggs.
And just the wonderful look on their faces, they're almost human-like, the slightly lugubrious look. I mean, yes, something as common as a frog, but to have captured it, sitting on its spawn, floating on the water, you know, they both look exhausted from a job well done of producing the next generation. Their reflections in this wonderfully green, lurid pool. It's, again, a beautiful composition. Edward Delaney, who took this picture, you know, that takes great skill. You've got to get right down at water level. It's so easy to photograph something as common as a frog, but to capture it in that kind of beauty takes a lot of thought and care and quite a acrobatic manoeuvre.
What I see in this particular photograph is that kind of smile on their faces. Yes. In other words, the cat that got the cream, the job is done.
They are so pleased with themselves. And there are quite a number of pictures here of the production of the next generation. And it's an important aspect of what nature does every year.
Okay, let's move on then to the next one. It's an insect.
The red mason bee. Oh, this is a spectacular thing. Now, what's amazing about solitary bees, you know, people think of bees and they just think of, well, firstly, the honeybee, and then there's about a dozen bumblebees. But there's another 80 or so solitary bees like this. She's called solitary because she spends her time provisioning a little nest for one egg at a time, and the males has no input to this other than fertilizing her. But to have captured her with all her little red bristles on her hair, that huge lump of mud in her mouth, she's plastering up a little tube that she's filled with pollen, put one egg on it, and now she's going to seal it up. Mm-hmm. And actually, they're very shy things. So Philip Greaves has photographed this in his back garden in Tipperary, and it is an amazing image. One of the amazing things about these bees is they're watching you. They're shy. They're just like a blackbird returning to its nest with a beak full of worms. They will not enter their nest if they think that you're watching them. The minute you look away, they dart in. And it's the same with these bees. They are watching carefully. And if they think someone is watching them, they will bide their time. They will hide. They don't want to give away their nesting spot. So to capture that, you know, is astonishing. It's done with a flash, but the resolution, every single hair is visible.
Yeah. And yet what I like about this photograph is that half the photograph, maybe two-thirds of the photograph, is a total black background.
Pure
and,
black,
and it
yes.
makes everything else stand out.
And her composition is so clever. I mean, every image here you see has been beautifully composed. To do that is vital. You can take a photograph, but it is just a boring photograph unless you make sure it presents itself to the public. So big, empty spaces on the canvas can be very important to show off what you're trying to
okay.
show the viewer.
Let's move on then to your last one. And your last one is a fox on Madhurarua.
This is a famous fox. This is the Dodder fox. Now, Ashlyn Byrne, who's taken this photograph, you know, yes, it is. It's used to human company, this fox. But nonetheless, she's captured it in a wonderful way. There's brambles, there's a cotoneaster, there's ivy. But, you know, the eyes and the nose of that fox, it's intently watching the photographer. And sometimes that spoils an image because it's like you've disturbed nature. But here, this fox is treating her as an equal. So at the same time, there's something arrogantly wonderful about this fox. He is so confident, or she is so confident, she's watching that photographer, has no fear of it. And, you know, it is wonderful to have captured such a beautiful image of a well-photographed fox.
What I like about this particular photograph is the contrast. You've got the red in the fox, the browny red, but you've also got the green. And you know what they say, red and green should never be seen except in the face of an Irish colleen. Well, in this case, it's an Irish fox. It's really, really beautiful.
And it is. No, it's an amazing insight into how a lot of this nature is around us in the city. So there are two images taken in Bushy Park. Here's another photograph taken on the banks of the Dodder River. There is nature all around us, so mm-hmm. you know, you don't need to feel you've got to travel miles to capture some of the beauty of Ireland's wildlife.
Well, talking about nature all around us, we're here in the National Botanic Gardens. What's going on here at the moment?
Well, we've got a wonderful set of heritage tours this summer. So if you look on our website, you'll see there's a number of different tours that draw attention to particular features of the collections in different ways. So it's a wonderful insight. I think if you've never taken a tour in the National Botanic Gardens, it's an eye-opener, not to mention an ear-opener, because you know the insight you get to even a site that's familiar to you, when people show you and tell you the stories about particular plants or features of the gardens, it is staggering. It brings a whole wide extra experience to it. So I would encourage people to do those.
And what I particularly love about the Botanic Gardens is that when you come at different times of the year, you see totally different things.
Yes, and it's one of the beauties of gardening is that, you know, even in winter, there is something thrilling about the first blooms, spring, summer, autumn. Each season brings a completely different feel. And like these photographs are surrounded by sweet peas, which add this wonderful fragrance as you walk around. And it is a spectacle of, you know, the pleasure of this moment in the year.
Thank you very much indeed, Matthew Jebb. Well, Nationwide, Terry, are our TV partners for this year's competition. Did you get a chance to speak with Anne Casson or Blonidney Coffee?
Of course I did. I met up with Blonidney Coffee. What a lovely lady she is. And I started off by wishing her a happy birthday. Because
it's not Blonid's birthday, is it?
No, I didn't say it was her birthday, but it's Nationwide's birthday. They're 30 years on the go. But Blanet hasn't been there for 30 years. Oh, God, no. She's only joined the team relatively recently.
I came on to Natron just before the first lockdown. So I'm only on it 4 years. But of course, you know, Anne's been with it for 10 and there were people that went before me. And it's a great programme. But yeah, 30 years on air this year, which is kind of incredible.
We'll have to wait until next week to be able to tell you. Was it 1, 2, 3 in the order
well,
that you
I
gave?
Well, I have the winner's name in a golden envelope.
Oh.
I'm like Willy Wonka. So I'll be revealing it on Nationwide. But I don't think anyone could come up here and see the way they're, by the way, the way they've displayed them here is amazing. I don't think anyone could come up here and say, oh, that's a winner, that's a winner. Everyone's going to have a different favourite.
Too true, Blanet, too true. And the winner of the RTE Eye on Nature Wildlife Photography Competition for 2023 will be revealed next Friday, the 23rd of June, on Nationwide on RTE1 television at 7 p.m.